Well, good morning once again. I'm glad you guys got some coffee. I think the coffee, I don't know what it is about today, but I feel like everybody's getting extra coffee. It was maybe needed a little bit. It's wonderful. I love to see the fellowship that happens here. It's great to see some new faces, some returning faces. We are all welcome, and it's great to just be a part of the family of God. Let's pray as we dig into the word this morning. Jesus, thank you for your presence with us, but God, also thank you for your word. Lord, your word that speaks to us, your word that is always right on time. So Father, today as we open the word, Lord, I pray that we would have hearts and ears ready to hear, ready to learn, ready to grow. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can see that we've got some things going on that are a little bit different today. We're going to get to that in just a moment. When I was 3 years old, that's when I gave my heart to Jesus. So my whole life, all I've really known is faith. I've known God. I cannot remember my life before Christ. And that's a very interesting thing because a lot of times I'll hear people say things like, oh, well, she must, you know, she's all in. She's got it all together because she's never known anything other than Jesus. But the reality is, whether you've been saved for 5 minutes or 50 years or less than or more than, the struggle is real, right? The struggle being, am I all in? Am I sold out for Christ? Or am I continuing to struggle? And we all do. We struggle. There's this tension that exists in our walks with God. The tension is, am I sold out for Christ? Am I fully surrendered? Am I fully allegiant to Him? Or am I being pulled back to things of the world? Do I have temptations to doubt? Am I in a season where I'm going through a crisis of faith? Last week, I explained a little bit of a time from my history where it was a crisis of faith. Maybe it's just moments where there's those temptations to make small compromises that take us from being fully in to going back to the ways of the world. This is a tension in our walk with God, and what God wants for His people, what He has always wanted for His people, is for us to be fully surrendered, to be all in, not lukewarm. He doesn't like the lukewarm thing. He doesn't like when we're saying, hey, I can see you, God. I can touch you. I can come to church and I can worship. I can even read my Bible sometimes, but I can also still do the things, you know, that I kind of want to do or the things that I just happen to find myself doing. Have you experienced this tension? The desire to be all in, but to be pulled back to the things of the world. I'm going to call that today our fence. Our fence. The fence is the thing or things that separate us from being all in for God. And as we go through the message today, I want you to think, where are you in relation to this fence, to the things that are trying to pull you away from that fully surrendered life to Christ? Are you barely touching it? You know, you're like, you and Jesus, you're close. You got this thing going. The fence is behind you. You're not really looking back, but you could still touch it if you really wanted to. Are you maybe flirting with the fence a little bit? Like, ooh, this is nice. Maybe I'll just touch it a bit. Maybe I'll indulge in some of those things that I know I shouldn't. Maybe it's just a nice little flirtatious relationship with the fence. Maybe you're on the other side. You haven't yet chosen to be all in with Jesus. You're still trying to figure out who this Jesus guy is. You haven't made the decision one way or another. Or maybe you are fully sitting on the fence, right? Ooh, that was supposed to be more graceful. Maybe you're sitting fully on the fence. The fence is a representation of your allegiance. Are you fully in? Are you on fire for God? You're not looking back. You're not struggling. Are you on fire? But maybe the fire's dwindled a little bit. Maybe now there's just some embers burning. Where are you at? Are you fully compromised? Are you sitting on the fence, 1 foot in the world and 1 foot with Jesus? Today, each one of us is going to choose again where we want to be. Are we going to be all in with God? Because he's the one who desires our full allegiance. In 1 Kings chapter 18, the people of Israel had an allegiance problem. They were fully sitting on the fence. They were like, man, we know that we are God's people. We identify as that, but we want everything that the world has to offer. They were fully sitting in this lukewarm, like pretty cold place because they were immersed in idolatry, in the worship of Baal. Baal was a false god, and they were reveling in it. It was like in this season, they didn't recognize God. They didn't remember him. They didn't remember his character, who he was, what he had done for them. But they still liked to be identified as God's people. But Elijah, who was the prophet of God at this time, he came to the people and he said, you've got an allegiance problem. You haven't chosen. You are living a little bit in both worlds. And today you need to make a choice. Are you going to follow God or not? And in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 18, Elijah says, you have refused to obey the commands of the Lord, and you have worshipped the images of Baal instead. See, these people, the people of God, were ignoring God. They were ignoring his commands. They were ignoring his word. They forgot who their God was. And they had become so perverse with worshiping now the gods of the nations around them. Baal, bowing down in worship to him, offering sacrifices to him. And Elijah comes, and in chapter 18, verse 21, he stands in front of them and he says, how much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, then follow him. But the people were completely silent. See, they were stuck between two realities. They were stuck between the reality of we are God's people, but we still want to look like the nations around us. We still want to do the things that they do. We want to have this freedom. We don't want to just be one thing. They got really mixed up in it. They want both. And Elijah is saying, you've got to choose. You need to choose because right now you are stuck on the fence. And Elijah's saying, who has your allegiance? Is it God? If it's God, then be all in for him and get off the fence. If it's Baal, then be all in for Baal. Get off the fence. He's saying, but be all in. Enough with this double-minded, wishy-washy, lukewarm stuff, because guess what? God doesn't like it. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, Jesus says, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. God detests it when we waver, when we're undecided. And did you hear what happened when Elijah brought this call to the people? When he said, if it's God, worship him. If it's Baal, worship him. The people responded at the end of verse 21 with silence. They were silent. They didn't have a response. They refused to decide. Do you know what our enemy wants? Our enemy wants the people of God to stay in a lukewarm attitude, in a lukewarm mindset, and in a lukewarm faith. That is what the enemy wants, because lukewarmness gets us to a place of apathy. And apathy leads us to complete apostasy, which is turning away completely from our faith. So the enemy loves it when we are lukewarm, because he's like, oh, the next step is apathy, and the step after that is apostasy. I've got him right where I want him. God says, choose. Be all in. None of this wavering. So Elijah says, today, we're going to have a contest. We're going to see which God is the one true God. He calls together the 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of Asherah, these false gods of the nations that they had been worshiping. He calls them all to Mount Carmel, and he calls all the people of Israel there. And he says, today we're going to hold a contest. Prophets of Baal, you are going to prepare a sacrifice to Baal, and I'm going to prepare a sacrifice to the Lord, to Yahweh, the one true God. And whichever God lights up this sacrifice with fire from heaven, we will know that that is the one true God. And the prophets of Baal agreed. So Elijah says to them, you go ahead and choose the bull. You set up your sacrifice. You set up the altar exactly the way that you want. And then you go and you pray to Baal. And if he answers you with fire, then we'll know he's the one true God. So they got first choice. They got first pick. They prepared the animal. They got it ready for sacrifice. Interesting to note that Baal was known as the god of the skies, like the rain, which Elijah had prayed for it to stop, and it had not rained for 3.5 years. Where's Baal in that? And he was also known as the god of the skies, the one who would be in control of lightning, which was their understanding of fire from heaven. So man, this should have been a pretty easy task for Baal, the god of the skies. So the prophets, they prepare the sacrifice, and then they begin to pray. But this was not any ordinary prayer. It wasn't a quiet prayer. It was loud. It was boisterous. There was dancing. There was shouting. They even got to a point that they were so desperate, because for hours nothing had happened, that they began to cut themselves, until the word of God tells us that blood was gushing all over the place. Like they were in so deep with this perverse worship of this God. And they were so desperate for him to respond. But after doing this for all day long, silence. Nothing happened. Where is the God of the skies? He's not responding. And Elijah says, okay, it's my turn. He gets up, he takes the other bull. The first thing that Elijah does is he rebuilds an altar to the Lord. Because what had happened is the people had torn down all of the altars to the Lord and instead built up these places to Baal. And Elijah says, we're not doing this there. We're going to rebuild the altar to the Lord, because that's where it starts. It starts with a recognition of this is God's place. These are God's people. And we're going to do this in the right way that honors the Lord. So he builds up the altar. He prepares the sacrifice, and then I love this. Elijah's like, we're not going to make this easy. In fact, we're going to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord is God, that he is the one true God. So he calls his servants together, and he says, get some water, because you know what? Let's just douse this thing with water. Let's drench it. So 3 times they cover the animal sacrifice with water till it soaked through the wood. It even was so much water that it filled this trench that was dug around the sacrifice. Elijah's like, let there be no doubt that our God is the real God. And then Elijah prayed. There was no shouting. There was no cutting. There was no dancing around hysterically. Just the quiet, faith-filled prayer of a faith-filled man. In chapter 18, verse 36, says, at the usual time for offering the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all this at your command. O Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have brought them back to yourself. In that moment, fire falls from heaven, burns up the sacrifice, burns up the wood, licks up all the water until it was just completely bone dry. God answered with fire. It was a majestic and I assume holy moment where the people witnessed this is God in his power and in his might showing up in a way that was not conjured up, that was not somehow brought to be through magic or superstition or something else. This was God alone showing up in power as only he could. There was no doubt. And the people who had gathered around said this in verse 39. When the people saw it, they fell face down on the ground and cried out, "The Lord, he is God. Yes, the Lord is God." There was great victory that day. This was a huge victory, but I want to tell you that the victory was not that the fire fell from heaven. The victory was that the people got on their faces before the Lord and they said, "You are the one true God." They chose to get all in. They chose to get off the fence and to say, "We're not going to anymore have one foot in the world and the other foot with God. We are choosing today to say that the Lord is God." For you this morning and for me, we need to identify what is our fence. What is the thing that we keep going back to? What is the thing that is causing us to perhaps at times get to that lukewarm state? It might not be overt idol worship. It might not be full apostasy, but it's likely small compromises. Small things that we struggle with that continue to entice us to get back on the fence. Those things that are pulling us away. And I think we all need to know, what would it take for us to every single day be all in for God? Not just once, not just at the moment of our conversion, not just when things are easy or going well, but every single day to be all in for Christ. Charles Spurgeon, in his commentary through this story, said this: "You are not decided in practice. If God be God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. You are not decided in practice." See, we have to get to the point where we move beyond belief into practice, into our every single day, the decisions that we make, the way that we live our life, to be all in for Christ. So how do we move from belief to practice? So you remember I said that apathy leads to apostasy. And if that's true, if sitting on the fence leads to an abandonment of our faith, then what happens when we choose to get off the fence and to say, "I am all in"? When we make a choice, that leads to conviction. And conviction is something that we can stand on. To say, no, I have made a choice. So when the tempter comes, when he tries to get us to come back here, we go back to that, "I have decided to follow Jesus. And I have a conviction that I am not going to let go of. I am going to stay firm in this conviction, in the choice that I have made." When we make that choice and we walk in that conviction, it leads to change. And it's not just a change for one day. It is a life change. It is a life change. We have chosen to be all in for Jesus. But what small choice can you make today? What small choice can you make today and this week that helps it to become that life change? Right? For those of you who follow God, who have made that big choice to say, "Yes, I've decided to follow Jesus," what are the small choices that you can make today, this week, that say, "Now I'm standing in that conviction. I'm not going back. I'm not going to be wishy-washy. I'm not going to be lukewarm." Maybe it's to just be in the Word of God more, to be in the Word, to wake up in the morning and to read a scripture and to pray and to say, Holy Spirit, would you speak to me today? Would you teach me? Would you transform my life? And it might start, friends, with one verse. Would you be in the Word? Maybe it's to just put on worship music. We were talking about that in our home group in the last couple of weeks. Worship music, that thing that fills us, fills our minds, fills our hearts with the praise, with God's presence, with saying, you are great and you are glorious and you give me peace. To fill our homes with that. Maybe it's just your presence. To listen to the voice of the Lord who says, hey, I want you to go and sit with that friend who's grieving. I want you to just go and be there, a ministry of presence, and allow the Holy Spirit to work in you and through you. That can bring life change to you. Maybe it's serving in the church, getting excited about what God is doing in your local church. Saying, I want to be on board. Maybe it's serving in your community, in this beautiful city, and looking for opportunities that God puts in front of you to go and be a witness. We have on our wall that we love God and we love others. Let's show it. These daily choices, the small choices, move us to a place where we can say, I am all in every day. All in. Be all in. Make one small choice. Make one small choice today to get off the fence, whatever this fence is for you. For those of you who aren't yet saved, if there's people in this room or watching online that you haven't made that big choice to follow Jesus yet, you haven't decided, I want to encourage you that today you're going to have an opportunity to choose. And I believe firmly that the Holy Spirit is calling you and that he is drawing you and you are not listening to this because of some accident. He has a plan and he has a purpose for your life. And he wants to reveal himself to you in such a way that you would be able to declare with that same boldness, that is the one true God. I want to get to know him. I want to choose to follow him. You're going to have an opportunity in a few moments to make that choice. For us as a church, what does this look like? How do we be all in as Harvest Church? A few years back, I heard a story from one of my friends about a couple. They were from Iran. They got saved and they were ministering in Iran. And as you can imagine, it was a very difficult ministry with a lot of persecution. They ended up having an opportunity to move to the United States, and so they did. The husband had an incredibly fruitful ministry. He was excited about the future. He was excited about what life and ministry in the U.S. would be for him and for his family. But he looked at his wife, and his wife was struggling. In fact, she was in a deep depression. He said, I don't get it. Like, we are in literally the land of the free, where I can stand on the street corner and I can preach Jesus. Like, this is amazing. This is beautiful. And she said, I want to go back to Iran. He said, why? She said, because at least there, people who make a choice, they stick with it because they know it is a life or a death choice. She's like, in the United States, the people are under a satanic lullaby. It's lulling them to sleep. She's like, there's so much apathy here. I can't do it anymore. I'd rather go where my life is on the line, but at least I know I have decided to follow Jesus and I'm not turning back. I am all in. Church, I don't think that the satanic lullaby is just in the U.S. I think it is pervasive in North America and Western cultures where we have things really, really great, where we do have the freedom to speak Jesus. We're not worried about our life when we do. And I believe that Satan's temptation, as I said earlier, is to lull us to sleep with apathy. Say, well, I've got it all together. I'm doing all right. Would we be a church that wakes up from any type of satanic lullaby that is on us? Would we be a church that stands strong and stands boldly and says, I'm going to declare the goodness of God because he has called me, because I have responded to his call? Will we be a church that loves people and that loves them well? Will we be a church that is intentional about going out into our world and recognizing that whether we've all got cars and clothes and food, that there is a spiritual war that is waging, that a spiritual war that is taking people away from God into the depths of despair, and that our Savior died for them, and he has a purpose and he has a plan? Would we be a church that catches that vision, that gets on fire, that says, we are all in. Let's go and let's make a difference. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Would we dare to get off the fence of apathy, of appeasement, of anything goes, and make a bold stand for God? Would we be people, individuals, and corporately a church that can not just sing the words, I have decided to follow Jesus, but to live them, where we're not curbing our language, we're boldly and with love saying, this is the choice that I have made, and that same choice is available for you today. Would you follow him? Because he's calling you. Elijah had to stand in the face of great opposition. At the time, he thought he was the only one making a stand for God against hundreds of prophets of Baal and Asherah in the midst of a people who had completely abandoned their God. And he said, it doesn't matter. I don't care what it takes. Today I am saying I have decided to follow Jesus, who's with me. Church, let's be a church who decides, who follows, and who is all with us.